The first night of Hanukkah, we say three brachos when we light the candles. We say, "Behadlik ner shel Hanukkah." We say Shas Nisim, and we say Shachiyam. Okay. So Behadlik ner shel Hanukkah is a what type of bracha is that? It's a regular, ordinary Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a bracha which we say before doing the mitzvah. Right? Most of the time when you do a mitzvah, you say a bracha first. There are exceptions. There are times you don't. That's an interesting topic. Like when you give tzedakah, you don't say a bracha. You ever think about that? No bracha when you give tzedakah. When you do the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, we don't say a bracha about the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's an interesting example. When you give Shalach Manos, you don't say a bracha. When you bench, benching is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Why don't we say a bracha? Baruch to Hashem, okay, Asher Utsav, B'tzivanu, Levarech Al Hamazon, and then say, it's a fascinating question. And this is not for now. That's like a senior's thesis. It's a very nice thesis to go through and figure out when we say brachos on mitzvos, when we don't, why not? It's a fascinating topic. But anyway, most mitzvos we say a bracha on. This is a classic, standard birchas hamitzvah, the bracha about the mitzvah of lighting the Neres Chanukah. Okay, good. Shas Nisim is the second bracha. Shas Nisim is not so common. What is Shas Nisim all about? Why do we say Shas Nisim? Why do we say Shas Nisim? You don't say it when you put on tefillin. You don't say it when you eat the matzah. Pesumei Nisa, correct. Pesumei Nisa. There's a mitzvah to publicize the miracle. On Hanukkah, the mitzvah is to publicize the miracle. That's a special part of the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. So therefore, Chazal were misakein. The Chazal established a special bracha which highlights and expresses this aspect of the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. The other time we say Shas Nisim, of course, is on Purim. And when you read the Megillah, you also say Shas Nisim. Why? Because Purim is also, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah is there in order to publicize the miracle, so you say Shas Nisim. Does anyone know the third mitzvah which Chazal say is particular mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa? It's a little less well known. It's the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. The Gemara says that the mitzvah of drinking four cups of wine at the Seder is Pirsumei Nisa, and yet we know we don't say the bracha of Sha'as Nisim at the Seder, and that's an interesting question. Why not? The Mefarshim tackled that issue. How come we don't say a special bracha of Sha'as Nisim at the Seder? Rabbi Salvechik, Zatzal, the Rav, had a beautiful pshat. There are different pshatim. That's not for now. But that's the bracha of Shas Nisim. Okay, good. The third bracha, of course, is Shachianu. Shachianu, any mitzvah which is ba mizman lizman, any mitzvah which only comes once in a while, so there's an extra special simcha. There's an extra special simcha when the mitzvah comes. So you say Shachianu, like every Yom Tov, you say Shachianu. You say Shachianu, so the first night we say all three brachos. That's on Chanukah. Of course, after the first night, we only say two brachos. We only say Shachianu the first night and not the other nights. Now, all of these brachos we say before we do the mitzvah. This is the almost universal practice that this is what the Rama says to do. That we'll read it inside in 1 second. We're about to read inside Siman Tav Resh Ayin Vav. So the Rama says, we'll read it inside in 1 second, that we say all the brachos before we do the mitzvah. What's that called? What is that? That idea that you should say all the brachos, say the brachos before you do the mitzvah. That has a name. What's that called? Over lasiyasim. Over lasiyasim means before. Lasiyasim means the performance of them, their performance. So you say the bracha, you say the brachos before you do the mitzvah, and that's what we do 98% of the time. the 2% are there are several exceptions, and they're very common exceptions. So let's go one step at a time. So first we'll get to the exceptions Bezrat Hashem a little bit later. So first let's just read the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah inside. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah inside. Here we go. Page 289, Tafresh Ayin Vav, Seif Aleph. Hamalik Belel Rishon Mevarech Gimel Brachos Hadik Ner Chanukah B'Shalas Hizim M'Shechianu. The first night you say three brachos. Good, that we saw already. Seif Beis Melel Rishon Ve'Elech Mevarech Beis. Two brachos. Gahadlik and Shalas Nisim. And what is the Moharan? Hagol. What is the Moharan? Ve'Yevarech Kol HaBrachos Kodem Sheyaskel Gahadlik. You say the brachos first, and that's the very common practice. That's what almost everyone does. That you say the brachos first, then you light the candles. Why? Because this is the idea of overlas yasan. You say the brachos about the mitzvah before you do the mitzvah. Now, what is the reason for overlas yasan? Why? Why is that the common practice? How come? Why is that the norm? That 98% of the mitzvahs that we do, if you say a bracha, you say the bracha first, and then you do the mitzvah. There are two pshatim for this. There's a standard pshat that's in most of the svarim, and then there is the other pshat which the briskers developed based on the Rambam. It's good to know the standard. So the standard pshat is that it's good for your kavan. The standard pshat is it helps with kavan. And the idea is as follows: when you do mitzvos, you're supposed to have kavanah when you do mitzvahs. You're supposed to, I'm doing this act in order to serve Hashem. And you're supposed to think about what you're doing. So when you say a bracha, Baruch, Atah, Asher K'nishanu, B'mitzvahs, B'tzivanu, L'hadli, it gets you focused. A few minutes. This is standard shot. It gets you focused on what you're about to do. So saying a bracha before doing the mitzvah certainly adds to one's kavanah. And you have more kavanah. I know what I'm doing. The Ritva is the first one. He's one of the Rishonim who says this. But this is really the standard. If you look at most of the Sfarim, that's a standard shot you're going to see. It adds to your kavanah. And, you know, it helps you do the mitzvah in a better way. Because the bracha helps you do the mitzvah in a better way. Okay. The briskers, both the briskers in Yerushalayim and the Rav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik, they have another angle. They have another angle. Which is that the bracha we say before we do mitzvos is not only about kavana, but rather the bracha acts as a matir. A matir. A matir is something which allows you to do something else. So the second shot, I'll explain this, is the bracha acts as a matir. The word matir means that I do this in order to allow myself to do something else. What is the classic example that we have in our lives in brachos that's a matir? Brachos on food. The Gemara says that Hashem owns the world. To use the world, to eat part of the world, eat food, is stealing from Hashem. So how are we allowed to eat? So the Gemara says you say a bracha. And when you say a bracha, that bracha, in a sense, is asking Hashem's permission, and Hashem says yes. That's how established. And then you're allowed to eat. So the bracha we say on food acts as a matir to allow me to eat the food. Without saying the bracha, I'm not allowed to eat the food. It's like stealing from Hashem. And when I say the bracha allows me to eat the food. So what's striking is, and the briskers like to learn the Rambam a lot. The briskers notice that when the Rambam talks about the brachas on mitzvos, he compares them to the brachas on food. He uses a kishem, just like you say brachas on food, you say brachos on mitzvos. So that powerful word, that comparative word, just kishem, just like, so therefore the briskers developed the following idea. I hold it's a beautiful idea, it's very deep. The idea is, doing mitzvos is an obligation, you have to. It's not our choice. Hashem says you got to do the mitzvos. But we should appreciate it's a privilege to do mitzvos. We're getting closer to Hashem. And it's a privilege to have the zechus, to get close to Hashem. And therefore, Chazal wanted us to acknowledge and express and understand that privilege that I have to serve Hashem and get close to Hashem. So I say a bracha to allow me to do the mitzvah. I have to do the mitzvah anyway. I'm stuck. Hashem, I do the mitzvah. Hashem commanded me. I have to do the mitzvah. But, and I should realize what a privilege I have to do the mitzvah. I'm getting closer to Hashem. Here's the mashal. I don't think the Rebbe gave this mashal, but I think it's a good mashal. You're a gardener, and you're visiting Washington, D.C. You're a good gardener. And you're going down 16th Street, and you get to the end of 16th Street on Washington, D.C., and there's this huge house at the end of 16th Street. It's big, huge garden, tall fence. The house is primarily white. And there's this beautiful, you say, I'm a gardener. Hey, I'm going to go do my gardening thing in the White House lawn. And you jump the fence of the White House and start gardening. What happens next, probably? You get shot. An hour later, you get shot. You know, no questions. You jump the White House lawn. You can't do it. Are you crazy? Anyway, so you can't do that. Why not? Because it's a privilege to be the White House gardener. You know, you get to put your little name there on the garden. You know, my name, you know, gives you publicity. That's a schus. To be the guy who gets inside the White House and does all the gardening, that's a privilege. That's the mashal. The nimshal is, a Jew does a mitzvah. He's getting closer to Hashem. He's entering the White House. Every person in the world goes through the world with a certain connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever. Then you do a mitzvah, you're getting closer. So I have to, in a sense, ask permission to take, this is a beautiful shot, mamash, deep, to take that step closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So although I have to do the mitzvah, because I'm obligated, but I have to, that's what I have, Chazal want me to recognize, it's a privilege. Ask permission. You're about to get close to Hashem. Recognize what you're doing. Appreciate what you're doing. Say a bracha. That's why 98% of the time we say brachos before we do the mitzvah. I want to just finish Hadrachas Neiros and then go back and discuss the two exceptions. But I want to finish Hadrachas Neiros as an important point, another big halachic point here, and then we'll, okay. Seif Dalet. Seif Dalet is about Haneiros Halavu. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Masechah Sofrim that we say Haneiros Halavu. Masechah Sofrim is not from the time of the Gemara. I think they say it's from the time of the Gaon. So let's read it inside. Seif Dalet, page 289. Achar shehidlik omer haneiros halelu. After you light, you say haneiros halelu. It implies right away. And he quotes the language of haneiros halelu. So this custom goes back at least 1,000 years, probably more, that you say haneiros halelu when you light the candles. Now we're going to see in a second, that it's like this. Haneiros halelu is a very, very, very old, very significant minhag, which we'll discuss now. Mo'osur is a nice, beautiful song. We sing Mo'osur. Mo'osur is a beautiful song, but it's not such an old custom. It's not part of the mitzvah we'll discuss of lighting the Neiros Chanukah. I'm not sure. So of Haneiros Halelu. Now, what's Haneiros Halelu all about? Why do we say Haneiros Halelu? Why do we say Haneiros Halelu? We're publicizing the miracle. So you have to know what you're publicizing. You have to know what you're doing. You're announcing to yourself, to who's ever there, I'm lighting these candles, this is Pirsumei Nisa. Saying Haneiros Halelu is part of how we publicize the miracle of Ner Chanukah. Now, you don't have to use a megaphone. It's not for anyone. It's for you to understand what you're doing. This is Pirsumei Nisa. And this is why it's said right away with the Hadlakas Haneiros. How come you don't find this, something like Haneiros Halelu on Purim? Because we have the Megillah. Chanukah doesn't have a sefer from Tanakh to associated with it. There are nevuahs that hint to Chanukah. Rashi every now and then in Tanakh says, "Oh, this nevuah is a remes to Chanukah." But since Chanukah has no Megillah, so the minhag developed to declare and describe what we're doing as we're lighting as part of Pirsumei Nisa, and that's why you do it right away together with the hadlaka. We say Haneiros Halelu Mamisha in conjunction with the Hadlaka. The Mishnah Berurah quotes two pshatim here. I'll say them outside first, two minhagim, and then we'll do it inside. The Mishnah Berurah writes that there are two customs exactly when to say Haneiros Halelu. One custom is you say Haneiros Halelu right after you light the first candle. Mamish together with the lighting. Let's say it's the fifth night of Chanukah, you say the brachos, You light the first candle, and then as you're lighting the other candles, you say a neiros chol. It's a very powerful idea. Mamash, it's mitzuruf. It's mamash, part of the lighting, together, because you're declaring the presuming nisa. The other minhag the Mishnah Berurah quotes is to say a neiros chol right when you finish lighting. You don't have to, not in the middle of lighting, right when you finish. Those are the two customs. Either custom your family follows is fine. Let's see it inside. Mishnah Berurah letter Ches. Page 289. In the first line, he quotes the first custom, and in the last line of Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Ches, he quotes the second custom. So let's start from the Mishnah Berurah Ches, Achar Shehidlik. It's the fourth to last line on the page 289. Achar Shehidlik Ner Rishon, Shehu Ha'ikar, Omer Neros Halalu, V'yigmur Hadlokos, V'od Sheomer HaNeros. You complete the lighting while you're singing HaNeros Halalu. It's a powerful minhag. Some people do this, that they begin saying an Eros Halalu as they're lighting the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth candles. They want an Eros Halalu to be mamish together with the lighting. It goes all together because we're declaring the presuming nisa aspect as we're lighting. Or the Mishnah Berurah says at the end, Mikol Makom, Misha Noheg, Loma an Eros Halalu, Li'achar Shidli Kakol, Nami Shapar Dami, that's also okay. So both customs are acceptable. However, it's like this. A lot of families like to sing HaNeros HaLolo all together. It's very nice. Hanukkah is a big family time. And that's what you should do. But, you know, certainly when you're doing your own lighting, whoever's lighting for themselves should say HaNeros HaLolo with their own lighting. In other words, there's no stira. Let's say in my family, so I'll light the candles and I'll say HaNeros HaLolo when I light. And each one of my kids who lights. And then when the last person in the family lights, so we all sing HaNeros HaLolo together. I don't want you to, we discussed, we are allergic to tension in the house. We don't start doing things and get your family all uptight. But, so if your family won't mind, say it out loud. If it'll bother them in whatever way, so as you're lighting, say it quietly to yourself, or either as you're lighting or when you finish lighting, you say HaNeros HaLolo. That's what you're supposed to do. And then together with the family, you sing all together when you're done, when everyone's done. If that's your family's custom, sing HaNeros HaLolo. So sing it together. But really, each person who's lighting should say their own HaNeros HaLolo with their lighting. So that's topic. Let me just explain the two exceptions. Yasan, these two exceptions are actually pretty common, so they come up a lot. One exception, of course, is Netilas Yadayim, and the other exception is Neiros Shah. So Netilas Yadayim. By Netilas Yadayim, we do something strange. The mitzvah is to wash your hands. And we wash our hands first, then we say the bracha. Why don't we say the bracha, then wash our hands? So the answer the Rishonim give is that you're about to wash your hands. So my hands are going to be more tahor and more clean in like 5 seconds. So I have a choice of saying the bracha with more clean, more tahor hands, or when they're not as clean as tahor. So it's better to say the bracha when they're clean already. So that's why the Tilas Yadayim is an exception to the rule. The Tilas Yadayim is an exception where we change the order and do the mitzvah first and then say the bracha. Because we'd rather have our hands clean and tahor before we say the bracha. That's an exception. That's not the norm. The other famous exception, of course, is Hadrakas Neiros Shabbos. By Ashkenazim, the universal custom is Ashkenazim light the candles first and then say the bracha. A lot of Sephardim don't do this. How come Ashkenazim do that? Because when you say the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, lehadlik ner shel Shabbos, that's like accepting Shabbos. Half the Rishonim say that when you say the bracha, lehadlik ner shel Shabbos, that is an automatic acceptance of Shabbos. And once it's Shabbos, you can't light the candles anymore. So therefore, to avoid Chilul Shabbos, that's a pretty good thing you want to avoid, to avoid Chilul Shabbos, first you light the candles, then say the bracha. But again, that's strange. It's out of the ordinary. It would have made more sense to say the bracha first, and then light the candles, like all the other mitzvahs that we do with the bracha. So lighting candles is an exception. Now, we still believe in Ovra L'Asiyasa. We still believe in Ovra L'Asiyasa. And you want to say the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So in both of these examples, even though we've already done the mitzvah, we try to save part of the mitzvah or an addendum to the mitzvah until after the bracha. That way the bracha is still coming before a part of the mitzvah. Let's go to Netilas Yadayim. By Netilas Yadayim, what do we do after the bracha? We dry our hands. The correct practice is to wash your hands, then say the bracha, and then dry your hands. Some people dry their hands like out of habit or whatever, they're in a rush, as they're saying the bracha. That's a mistake. Your yotze, it's not a bracha, but your yotze, but it's better to say the bracha and then dry your hands, because that way part of the mitzvah you're doing after the bracha. The Gemara says that it's mius, it's not, it's disgusting to eat bread with wet hands. So that's why you have to dry your hands. That's why you dry your hands, because it's not nice to eat with wet hands, to eat bread with wet hands. And therefore, we specifically save the drying of the hands until after the bracha in order to have a partial fulfillment of over lasiyasan. It's not the full thing. The full thing is before the washing, but we don't want to do that because we want our hands to be clean, more clean and more tahor. That's by Netilas Yadayim. Now, by candle lighting, we do the same thing. By candle lighting, we do the strange thing that we do the mitzvah, then say the bracha. So we want to save part of the mitzvah for after the bracha. How do we do that? You're supposed to, part of the mitzvah is to enjoy the candlelight. We discussed on Monday that Neiros Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah are opposites. Neiros Chanukah, you're not using to enjoy the candlelight. No. Neiros Chanukah, you look at, oh wow, Hashem did a miracle. It's not there to light up the room. It's not there to read. It's not there to enjoy the candlelight. By Neiros Shabbos, you enjoy the candlelight. It lights up your room. It adds ambiance. It makes your table nicer to eat with light. So therefore, the minhag is that when women say the bracha, it says in the Sfarim, they should close their eyes. Because that way, you're saving part of the mitzvah for after the bracha. What part of the mitzvah are you saving? When you open your eyes and enjoy the candlelight, so then that piece of the mitzvah you're doing after the bracha, and that way you have a partial fulfillment of over lasiyasan, where you can't do it the whole thing before the bracha. You don't say the bracha before the entire mitzvah, but you say the bracha at least before that piece of the mitzvah. Now, when women light candles, there's a pretty universal custom. They light the candles and they do this. Then they say the bracha. Okay? Why do we do that? Because our grandmothers did that. And why did our grandmothers do that? Because their grandmothers did that. And that's a good thing. And we'll discuss that in a minute or two. We're into the Masorah. And if that's the way they did it, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to change that. It's good to do things. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. Now, when you wave your hands like that, if you're waving your hands like this, your eyes should be closed. Because if you light the candles and then say, oh, Shabbos is here, and you look at the candles like they're beautiful, then you say the bracha, then you're saying the bracha, then you've already enjoyed the candlelight before you said the bracha. So it's preferable that after you light the candles, when you're waving your hands, you are waving hands with your eyes closed. It could be dangerous, so take a quarter step back. And then you say the bracha, and then open your eyes. Where did this...
See the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perek Mem Gimel, Halacha Lamed.
Where did this custom come from? So there's a great Rav Greenblatt, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, Shlita. He used to be in Memphis for many years, and he made Aliyah recently. So he has the following conjecture of where this custom came from. He said the original custom was, there are two ways to show you're not enjoying the candlelight. One is to close your eyes. The other is to do this. It's like you're pushing away the light. And he's convinced that that's where it came from. You light the candle, you light the candles, and then before the bracha, it's like you're saying, no, I'm not enjoying the candlelight yet. Then I say the bracha, then I open my eyes. That's his conjecture. But that became like doing this, and Shabbos is here, which is very nice. We don't change our customs. We don't change our customs. But it's certainly better to have our eyes closed when we do that, for the reason that we explore. Oh, so I'll tell you, if you're Zocha to see how your grandmothers light Shabbos candles, and you light the same way, that's a good thing. We're into the Masorah. We don't make changes. I told the story already on a few classes on Monday. I'll say it again. And we have a wonderful Masorah. We've been serving Hashem more or less the same way a couple thousand years. We shouldn't be so fat. We shouldn't be in such a rush to make changes. We should be very hesitant. You make a change in the Masorah, very careful. Any adjustment, any chiddush, be very careful. We have an old fashioned, and if we light candles the way our great 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 grandmothers did, we're going to be. I have a wonderful story. I like this story. I heard it from on a tape from Shlomo Karbach. He told the following story that the Karwin Stalin Rebbe is back in Europe. It was time to daven. We'll say it's time to daven Maariv. Not exactly what, but Maariv. And he says, we're not davening at home today. We're going to go to another town to daven. And they get in the wagons with the Talmidim, and they're going to another town, and the wagons, no, not here, no, the next town, the next town, the next town, no, no, no. They come to a town finally, here. It's past midnight, we're davening Maariv here. They come to this town, they're davening, about to daven Maariv, and they need a place for all the Hasidim to daven there, like, together. So there's an inn at the town, and they knock on the door, and this very old man comes out, very old man, and they say, can we use your inn for our, evening prayers? And he says, sure. And they start davening, in the courtyard of his inn. Okay? They daven very loud. They're yelling and yelling. They daven loud. So the goyim hear them yelling, they wake up, and the goyim are very impressed, Kiddush Hashem, and the goyim come down, and they start davening to God in their own way. And then they bring down fruits to the Jews, and they're happy, and they're sharing in the Kiddush Hashem. It's the greatest thing. Kiddush Hashem, the whole neighborhood's alive, and everyone's pouring their hearts out to Hashem, and they share their fruits. And good, now it's over. So now it's time to leave. And as the Rebbe's getting back onto the wagon, he says to the innkeeper, Nu, do you have anything to tell me? So the innkeeper says to him, today is my 107th birthday. When I turned on my 7th birthday 100 years ago, so my great grandfather was the head of the inn, and the Baal Shem Tov came here with his Talmidim and did the same thing. They davened and loud, and everyone came to join in with big Kiddush Hashem. And the Baal Shem Tov gave me a bracha. Now, Shlomo Karbach tells stories very well. He says he put his holy hands on my little head. He starts singing, but anyway, it's beautiful. He put his holy hands on my head and he gave me a bracha. And he said, you should have a long life. And when my students come here, tell them I was here before them. Tell them I was here before them. And 100 years later, the Baal Shem Tov students come and do the same thing. That's Yadus. If we live our lives the way our great-great-great-grandparents lived their lives, we're going to be doing okay. That's Yadus. So don't be in such a rush to change things. It's nice to do things the old-fashioned way. And once in a while, there's a chiddush in the Masorah, something new. But anytime there's a chiddush, there's never a change. We don't make changes. But once in a while, there's a chiddush. Whenever there's a chiddush, so number one, it has to come through the Gedolim. And number two, the Gedolim know that this chiddush we're going to use to preserve and conserve the Masorah. The classic example is what we're doing now. Women learning Torah at a high level. Your great-great-grandmothers didn't do this. Most of them barely knew how to read, most. The Mishnah Berurah writes, this was in the early 1900s, that Mishnah Berurah writes that women shouldn't say a bracha when they count Sfiras HaOmer because most women don't know what the words mean anyway. That's what he writes. So I said, I was wondering, this is not like rocket science. Like, what words don't they understand? So I asked Rebbe Saul Shlita. I said, Rebbe, what's he talking about? He said, most of them couldn't count past 10 in Hebrew. They could daven. They said Tehillim. They raised wonderful Torah homes. They could kasher chickens. I can't do anything. But they couldn't count past 10 in Hebrew. So to say 34 in Hebrew, they didn't know what it meant exactly. So that's now that's incredible. And 100 years later, that's the Beis Yaakov movement. So Sarah Schneer, she had the bracha of the Chafetz Chaim, and she had the bracha of the Ger Rebbe. So they understood that in the changing world, women need more than their great-great-great-grandparents did. So that's a chiddush in the Masorah, but that was the chiddush was there to conserve, and you went to the gedolim. You start making changes on your own. No, I feel this way, I feel that way. And, you know, very often the changes are being pushed from the outside world, and they're a big problem. I like that story a lot. One of my favorite stories. So if we do things the same way we did things 100 years ago, we're going to be okay. Anyway, so whether we understand exactly why our great-grandmothers, you know, waved their hands or not, if they wave their hands, you want to usually wave your hands, and we're not in such a rusty change. But I think it's better to close your eyes, because for this technical reason. All right. Right. So that's why women wave their hands when they light Shabbos candles. But I'm mentioning that without changing your family's custom, it's better to have your eyes closed when you do that and not have your eyes open. A little overview about Hanukkah. And then this is based on just trying to develop a vort I once heard from Rav Lesh. We thought it's a beautiful idea. So that's Yavan. Okay. Now, on Hanukkah, one thing we're celebrating is the supernatural miracle of the Nes of the Pach Shemen. A little oil lasted for 8 days. That's called a Nes Nigla, supernatural, overt, clear miracle. There's a world-famous Ramban in Parshas Bo that's really crucial. And Ramban develops the theme that when we experience a Nes Nigla, we're supposed to learn from that all of Teva is really a Nes Nister from Hashem. The Ramban says when you experience a Nes Nigla, it should help you understand that all of the natural world is really from Hashem. It's very simple. If Hashem can change nature, that's a Nes Nigla, that means Hashem controls nature. If Hashem controls nature, that means when nature runs naturally, it's because Hashem is willing it to run that way. And I have to thank Hashem, and I appreciate Hashem for that. We don't notice it because of the laws of nature. The laws of nature are only changed once every couple of thousand years, so we don't notice it. But we take it for granted. It's nature. No, it's not nature. Hashem is the one deciding for it to happen. The fact that Hashem, every couple of thousand years, changes the natural world, a supernatural miracle, oh, wait a second. So then you should recognize that why does the sun rise? The sun rises because the earth spins on its axis. Why does the earth spin on its axis? Because of the laws of gravity, and Newton explained, and Einstein touched it up a little bit, the sun and the earth. And why does gravity exist? Well, because it exists, yeah, but why? Well, we know why gravity exists, because if it wasn't for gravity, it would be hard to learn Torah. If you're floating on the ceiling and banging your head on the ceiling, it's hard to learn Torah if you're banging your head. Get it? Whatever. Anyway, so gravity exists. So the fact that Hashem is deciding that gravity exists, and Hashem, so therefore when the sun rises in the morning, Hashem wants it to rise. We have to thank Hashem for everything in nature. That's Judaism. We understand that there's something behind the natural world. Yavan are the Greeks. Their sheet is what you see is what you get. They don't believe in God. They're into the body. The Olympics and the human body. That's what they developed. And almost all the statues by Yavan are without clothing because they're very into the body. That's the struggle on Hanukkah. Do you focus on the chitzonius or do you believe in the pnimius? So I've left pointed out, and this is I'm not sure he made it up, but it's a fabulous vort, that the letters of Yavan are the only three letters in the alphabet that are straight lines. There's no pnimius to Yavan. Every other letter in the alphabet has a circle. When you have a circle or a half circle, there's an inside and an outside. You have a letter bays. So you can be inside the bays or outside. You have a letter or a gimel. Inside or outside. It's a fabulous word. Yavan? There's no inside to Yavan. There's nothing inside. What you see is what you get. There's no pnimius. That's what Yavan's all about. That's their name, Yavan. Yud Vav Nun Sofit. Straight lines. Yavan is about straight lines. There's no pnimius to Yavan. They don't believe in the pnimius in the natural world. They don't believe in pnimius in the spiritual world. We believe there are two levels of pnimius. Number one, that the nature is all from Hashem. And number two, that when it comes to life, there's a Torah. There's a spiritual Torah behind the whole world. And we have to do what Hashem says and follow the Torah. This is exactly the struggle between Yavan and Am Yisrael. There's a fabulous gematria. That Hateva equals
Elohim. Remember, the Kuf should be ahead. Hatev equals Elohim. They're both 86.
That's Judaism. That the natural world, we believe, is all from Hashem. And when you experience nature, you say, wow. Hashem runs, well, thank you, Hashem, for the natural world. There's an amazing Sfas Emes. It's an amazing Sfas Emes. Who points out as follows. Yavan, the Gematria is 66.
Another word whose Gematria is 66, this is all in Sfas Emes.
The Sfas Emes says is Galgal. Galgal is the word used for the world. The world's a Galgal. It's a circle, it's the Galgal, it's the ball. So Galgal is a word often used for the natural world. That's Yavan. Yavan believes, you see the world, 66, Yavan, what you see is what you get. There's no pneumius. You have a physical world and that's it. The Sfas Emes writes, another word whose gematria 66 is Elokecha.
Again, remember the Kuf should be a Hey.
Elokecha is also 66. That's Hanukkah. How do we view the Galgal? The Yavan says Galgal is straight lines. What you see is what you get. No pneumius. There's no miracles in the world. No Nes Nister. No Torah. No Ruchnius. No special super morality from Shemayim. And we say, no. We see a Galgal, Elokecha. God runs the world. That's a very beautiful word. We would call that, I think, cool. Assuming cool is still a word that is a little bit in. Then the Sfas Emes says something else. The Sfas Emes points out Yudke Bavke, it's Hashem's name. What is Yudke Bavke is really a shorthand for? How does Chazal?
Yeah,
correct.
Haya, Hove, and Yihyeh.
The Sfas Emes points out that Haya, Hove, and Yihyeh, the exact gematria of those three words, is also 66. That's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is who governs the Galgal? Is the Galgal governed by Yavan? What you see is what you get. Everything's nature. Guys, that's not cool. That's frozen. That's frozen. This is Hayahoved Yihyeh. That is fabulous. That is 66 also. That's the Sfas Emes. That's unbelievable. That's Hanukkah. When you look at the Galgal of the world, what do you think of? Who runs the world? What you see is what you get. There's a physical world. What are you worried about? Pneumas. I see it. There's nothing. I see a table and that's it. No. We believe Hashem runs the world. Elokecha, HaYehoveh, Yihyeh. That's Yudke Vavke. There's a pneumas to the world. There's all of Teva's Nes Nister. Hashem runs the world. And we believe that there's a Torah out there that guides our lives. And that is what Hanukkah is all about. What 66 are you going to go for? Yavan or Elokecha / Payahoveh V'yihyeh? Okay, we'll stop. There's another beautiful Sfas Emes. The Gemara says that you light the Ner Hanukkah ad shetichu regel min hashuk, until the passers-by are gone from the marketplace. Tichu means to be gone. Regel means feet. Literally, regel means feet. The people are gone from the marketplace. The Sfas Emes says, the word regel also is from hergel, that which is normal, that which you're accustomed to. So he says, when you light the menorah, you light the menorah until there's no more hergel, there's no more teva bashuk. In other words, people, you're used to nature. Yeah, nature is nature. No, you have to appreciate that nature is really a nes nister from Hashem. So you light the Ner Chanukah ad shetichel hergel min hashuk, until you understand that there's no more teva out there in the shuk. It's all really a big nes nister from Hashem. That's the Sfas Emes' comment. It's a play on words on the language of the Gemara ad shetichel hergel min hashuk, and that fits exactly with the other comments of the Sfas Emes that we mentioned earlier. Okay, we'll stop.